church like this, I felt a kindred spirit through the singing as we walked in. But I do agree with Brother Chad, it's different when your pastor's not here. He's not here in body, but I guarantee you he's here in soul and spirit. He knows what's going on. He's praying for the service. I've had to miss when I was pastoring that way. You watch, boy, I bet you the singing right now, they're getting ready to start this phase of the service. So his heart's here. I appreciate you're a great pastor. He's been a blessing to a lot of people. And I appreciate the good work he's doing here in this place. Well, I'm going to show this little DVD first. I've only done this about 3 times, so I'm not real high-tech on this stuff, but I think it's set up, so we'll try that, then we'll come back. So give me just a minute, maybe we'll get it going here. Lights, please, okay.
Pastor Gargan Walls, back in 1967. For the last 28 years, I've been at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church in Lover Springs, Tennessee. I have the privilege of pastoring a church that prints the Word of God. 100 times over, the stories could be told of our mission endeavor. Such stories as I'm going to tell you now. I was in Buchenwald, Germany, visiting a concentration camp. And we had taken 19 pastors with us on a trip and taken 50,000 German New Testament we printed at our print shop. During our trip there, I met a man named Walter Young, 86 years of age. He had served 2 years at this concentration camp. He was back for a visit that day. And what an encounter it was. We were able to give him his first copy ever of the Word of God, a red German New Testament. He took it. He kissed it. He wept. It was the first one he ever had. Then I cannot even express to you the joy I had of getting the scriptures to Lebanon, where the Hezbollah literally took the scriptures from my pastor friend there and his son, and took those scriptures and read them. And then the Iraqi scriptures that were printed and distributed in Iraq. Just over and over and over again. One story after another of the wonderful grace of God allowing us to present the Word of God to people. You know, you have many copies of that one around your house. Most of the world doesn't have one copy. Won't you help us be a part of even them what so drastically has changed your life? A copy of God's Word.
Hello, my name is H.B. Carney. I'm the printing director here at the church. And I just want to tell you how you can help in our ministry, and we need your help desperately. The ministry is making Jesus Christ manifest, making Him known to the world. That's the first thing we need to do. And the means is by printing the scriptures, purchasing paper by the roll, which is around $33,000 a truckload, or $1,200 a roll. And we need co-laborers, people like you that are in church, that have been saved and born again, and your desire to see people saved. Not everyone can go to the mission field, but you can send a paper missionary. And that's what we do, is we print Bibles, New Testaments, John and Romans, and send them around the world to missionaries so they can use them on the foreign field.
I just want to thank the Lord for Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, because my relationship with the church goes as far back as 1994, when I came and presented my ministry, and the church voted to give me 35,000 New Testaments. So they printed the 35,000 New Testaments, and I shipped them to Lebanon. That was in 1994, and we had pastors and people from all over Lebanon, Syria, come and take those New Testaments. In 2003, I was in Alaska just after the invasion of Iraq, and I came back from the Middle East, from Iraq, and went to Alaska to present my ministry in the churches in Alaska. And Pastor Walls called me, and he told me that the church voted to print me 40,000 New Testaments and also give me Bibles for Iraq. And as a matter of fact, during that period, with the help of Mount Pisgah, I was able to ship more than 24,000 Bibles and almost about 40,000 New Testament to Iraq. And the amazing thing is that when we get them to Iraq, those New Testaments and Bibles were distributed within 1 week all over the country. People were very hungry and wanted to hear the Word of God. Our relationship with Mount Pisgah goes many years back, and I'm very grateful that today I am a member of this church. And what is amazing to me is that Mount Pisgah supported the missionary who went to Lebanon and led me and my family to the Lord. And this missionary and his wife today, they are in heaven. But I am here, member of Mount Pisgah, commissioned and sent by this church in order to go to the Middle East and tell the people about the Lord.
Again and again, the story could be told. We want you to help us, please. We need your help. Of getting scriptures around the world. 16 different languages, 17th language coming this year. But your help is desperately needed. This is a local church ministry. I promise you will be faithful in handling what you give for the cause of Christ, for the salvation of souls, and the honoring of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. May God bless you.
All right. Thank you for listening to that. Brother Walls is doing a great work there. They desperately need help. There's no one church can supply that many Bibles. And I want to read a verse of Scripture. This is not the message that I didn't really come to preach a missionary message, but I do want to share this verse with you. Psalm chapter 68. This really jumped out at me when I was praying about helping him with this ministry. It says at Psalm 68, verse 11, "The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it." Now, whatever you want to take away from this psalm, I come away with this. It's Israel. They are proclaiming. They're proclaiming that their deliverance. They're proclaiming their salvation. And they're proclaiming their glorious future by their publication. But they weren't just publishing print. They didn't have a print press. But they were testifying and publishing the word that the Lord had sent. And so that's what we need to do as churches, individuals. Great, I want to be a part of that great company that publishes the word of God. Also, this verse the Lord showed me the other day in Proverbs 11:25. He that watereth shall be watered also himself. This word is the water of the Word of God. If we're willing to water others, God will in return water us and bless us some way. As Brother H.B. said, we can't all go to the mission field, but we can help send Bibles over there to them. And you know what? The offering we give, money is time. And you know, so I don't have time to do anything like that. But if we give something to the Lord, that's time that we're actually spending to help on the mission field. So I know this. Our church started giving handfuls of purpose back in 2005, and it continued to grow and grow, and it just went above and beyond what we thought would ever happen. But that's a good work, a great ministry, And I appreciate Brother Sexton allowing me to show that. Well, this is the first time I showed it when a pastor wasn't present, but I'm just going to leave it there. I don't want to push something on the congregation when the preacher's not here, but I appreciate you, Pastor, and let me show that six-minute DVD. All right. Brother Chad, would you lead us in a word of prayer? We're going to go to another passage for the Scripture tonight.
Take the truth of your word, Lord, and touch our hearts, Lord, mold and shape us, Father, because what you have to be done, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
We just ask you, Lord, you just be merciful to us, not Lord, just gracious with your presence. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Look with me, if you would, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 137. Psalms, chapter 137. We'll read about four verses there, and you pray for us that we'll be obedient to what the Lord has for us tonight. I was in one church recently, and the pastor said, well, our congregation said they like for the message to be about two things. He said, first of all, make it about Jesus, and secondly, make it about 15 minutes. I was in another church, and he gave me a bottle of water, and he said, that's a 30-minute bottle. I accidentally took this up and spilled a little bit of it, and he said, you've now got 15 minutes. So I don't think we will hush when the Lord lets us, okay? All right, look with us here in Psalms 137. We'll pray and read. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you now to help us as we open your word. Lord, I thank you for the good songs of Zion, the good spirit we felt here today, tonight. And Lord, just give us that what you'd have said for the remaining part of the service. Bless Brother Wayne, Lord. Be with him there with his back aches and hurts. And Lord, just deliver him from this, that he may soon be back doing the work that you've called him to do. And Lord, just bless him in a very special way. We'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 137, verse 1. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they say, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Now, we know what's going on here. The Jews, they've been deported all the way back to the Babylonian captivity. And this is one of the devil's, one of his two capitals of hot spots where he likes to see people go. This is where Abraham was brought out of this part of the country. This was a place where Abraham would not even let the servant go back and get a bride for Isaac. It was a terrible place to be. But they were driven back as refuge, put there in Babylon. It said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and we wept. I don't think they just wiped a few little old tears. I think the whole congregation, they broke down and they wept. Their hearts were broken. When they thought about the history of their country and where God had brought them from, and now the wicked nations had undone everything God had done for them, and they were right back there in Babylon. Now they was by the rivers of Babylon, but it wasn't like their rivers. Oh, they were some big rivers there, I'm sure. The Tigris River, and another river. But they wanted to be back by Jordan. That little river Jordan in Jabbok. That's where they felt the comforts of home and the presence of God. They wept when they remembered Zion. That's where the Lord manifests himself. And so they were at the very bottom. They were down there hanging their harps upon a willow tree. Now I'll say this. I notice you guys got some nice looking guitars over there. I've got a couple at the house. But one place you don't want to hang a harp or a guitar is on a willow tree. Those things grow in the swamplands. They call them weeping willows, you know. They got the big long, they just look so sad. They grow in an atmosphere where it's not compatible to your harp. It'll get out of tune real quick. if you hang your guitar or your harp up on the willow tree. And so I will say tonight, there's some trees you don't want to hang your harp up on, and there's some that we would like to. I don't have time to mention all of them, but I want to say that this is one of them. I've been down there before. You ever been down to where you just felt like this is it? The devil just tried to crash you, and you were just ready to just to sit there by the willow tree and just hang your harp up and just throw in the towel. That's a bad place to be. That's a bad place for a Christian to be. We can get to that place where it seems like there's no use to go on. And there's another tree I would say don't go near that one too. And that's a juniper tree. Remember old Elijah? As great a man as he was, man, he was unusual. He was a man of like passions as we are. I mean, Brother Chad, if you saw him around, he wouldn't book many meetings. He had that long hair and all that stuff, you know. He was an unusual character. But boy, he had the power of God on him. And, you know, the story of him, I'm not going to preach his whole life, but he got under the wrong tree. I mean, he started out, God blessed him. Boy, he put it down by the brook. Remember that? The Lord said him to go down by the brook. And he sent the ravens to feed him. Here he was down by the brook, and boy, he was there when all this famine was going on, but God was blessing him. I mean, he even sent food in. He might have gotten off of Jezebel's table. Those ravens may have flew down there and picked up a steak off of their table. He might even put a little barbecue sauce on it, some honey, and brought it back and set it down. Boy, he was having a feast. He was having a time. But that dried up. He had a brook experience. Then he had a barrel experience. You know that? How he made that barrel not run out of meal. Then he had a boy experience where he brought that little boy back to life. He goes on. He had a Baal experience where he defeated the Baal by prayer and the word of God. Then he had that black cloud experience, you know, where the little cloud hung over. And then the rain come. But then he went down to Jezebel's house. And that's where he had a backset. She threatened to take him his head off about this time tomorrow. And he took off and run out. And where did he sit? Under the juniper tree. So I will say this, we don't need to be getting under the willow tree or the juniper tree. But let me just mention for a few minutes tonight some trees that the Lord would want us to get under. I'm going to preach about some trees. Now, don't go out and say, we had Tarzan preaching tonight. He's preaching about trees. No, this is not a Tarzan message. This is in the Bible about trees. And so I want you to go with me, if you would, back over to Psalms 92. Psalms 92, verse number 12. Give you a moment to get there. The Bible says here, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. You know, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. You know, oftentimes in the Bible, we Christians are likened unto vegetation. We're likened maybe to the grass of the field, the lilies. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, the righteous shall flourish as a palm tree. Hey, you know, even Jesus himself likened himself to a tender plant. Isaiah said, he shall be a tender plant. He shall be a root in dry ground. I mean, you know, if Jesus likened himself to a little old tender plant, just a little old tender plant growing up in a dry place, hey, we all feel good if he likens us to a tree. If he lets us be like a palm tree. But he said he was a root in dry ground. Hey, it didn't say the root was dry, though. I would say the root had life in it. When Jesus came down to this world, he brought life with him. He didn't take anything out of this world to accomplish salvation. He brought the whole plan with him. He was God when he got here, and God while he was here, and he's still God tonight. He didn't take anything from this world. He took nothing from the Jews or his disciples. I mean, he brought it all with him, but he was a root. But the root wasn't dead. He'd have life in it. But he likened himself to a tender plant. So, you know, we ought to get pretty excited if he likens us to a palm tree. And that we ought to flourish like a palm tree. Amen. You know what it was when Jesus, we celebrate Palm Sunday, and the palm tree was used when he entered in. But we celebrate that every year just before Easter on Palm Sunday. So he says, righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. Let me just say a few things about the palm tree. First of all, the location of a palm tree. It grows in a desert place. I want to say, church, tonight, this world is a desert place. This world is not Christian friendly. We're in a world that we're not liked. And the battle gets worse as the days go on. Amen. Jesus did not, take us out of the world, but he left us here in the world. He isolated us from the world. He left us here for a purpose. And the world wants to get in the church and sink the church. You know, a ship can never go down as it sails across the sea unless something gets in, unless the water gets inside. And boy, I tell you what, a church will never sink as long as we keep the world on the outside. But when the world gets in, and there's a lot of churches, I thank God yours is not this way, but there's a lot of churches wanting to tap into what the world's got.
Amen.
I mean, Rick Warren, some of those dudes, they want to, those Joey boys, they want to bring in the things of the world. But all we need is this blessed old book and the Holy Ghost leading us and a preacher that'll preach the Word of God. And so this world's not our home. It's the palm tree was located in a very dreary place. Amen. But don't you notice another thing about the palm tree? The creation of this palm tree. God gave it certain elements. He made it so that it could stand the heat. I want to tell you, as a Christian, God has made us where we can stand the heat of this world. Oh, we know this world is not our home. And we can't settle down with this world, but we can withstand, we can be a testimony even in this wicked world that we live in. God's still looking for some that'll take a stand. Amen. My wife one time, appreciate my wife, that's her right back there, coming with me. We've been serving the Lord about 46 years together. But one day she was in a Christian bookstore and she brought me a little plaque. Brother Chad, they said, bloom where you plant it. I preached a sweet message off that. The Lord put us, he said, bloom where I planted you. He plants you in a certain place, and he wants us to bloom right there. Amen. And to flourish like a palm tree. Yes, he sure does. Flourish like a, and that means more than just survive. It didn't mean just barely get through. He said, I want you to flourish and produce fruit. Those palm trees, they produce dates, they produce fruit. He don't want a church just to barely get by an individual. He wants it to flourish, to bloom out. Amen. So this tree, it was created not to depend on the environment, but it knew how to get its tap root further down, get a hold of something better. I know back when our children were young, Becky and I, we planted 3 rose bushes out in the front yard. We're so proud of them. Boy, in the wintertime, we had a lot of snows back then. My daughter and son, those neighborhood kids, they'd ride them sleds off that hill. That one rose bush over there, they never did run over it. The one in the middle, they hit it every once in a while. But the one over here on the steepest part of the hill, and that's the driveway, they hit that thing, knocked it down over and over again. I got so angry with them, I said, you're ruining that rose bush. You know what? The one that didn't ever get run over, it died out first. The one that got hit a few times, it lasted a little while and made a few roses. But the one that kept knocking down, it produced beautiful roses for another 40 years. Why? Because their roots went deeper down. They got down there where the juice was at. And sometimes difficulty can cause us the tap root to go further. Hey, we got a supply that the world knows nothing about. Amen. We need to flourish like a palm tree.
Amen.
It's a tough tree. You have to be tough. Take Christianity is not for wimps. It's a rough road. I know most of us have went to the post office and ordered you some of that shipping tape. How many of you have ever done that? You know, it's a real tough tape. It's kind of clear. You put it around a package you're going to send somewhere. That stuff is tough. You know where that comes from? That comes from a real tough tree. It's called the sisal plant. It grows in a place where it is so unfriendly to anything growing, but it grows real tough. And there was a businessman here one time in Florida. He thought, I'm going to get rich off that. He went and brought a sisal tree, some trees to Florida. People invested in it. Well, they're going to get rich. Those sisal plants come up and look good. But the first summer he came along, bam, killed every one of them. They could not take it. But when it grew in a tough environment, it made it tough. And I tell you, we're in a tough environment, and God's got a purpose for us. Amen. So, we see the creation of a palm tree, the separation of it. God separated it. The palm tree's got a bark on it. It's got a bark on it that can't be penetrated by the sand. When the wind blows up against it, hey, it just stands there and it bounces off from it. The leaves on the palm tree is made where the dust can't cling to it. And folks, that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be where that the dust of this world cannot stop us. It cannot choke us and slow us down. Let it sling mud on if they want to, but we shake it off and go on in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalms 104 says the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Thank God. I think that's a good type of the Holy Ghost. We're full of something the world ain't got. Hey, man, we've got some sap in us. We've got something that makes us keep on keeping on and not yielding to the pressures of the time. Amen. So therefore, this tree can't be smothered to death by its environment. Thank God for Christians that cannot be smothered to death, that will stand no matter what. Matter of fact, it takes a storm to show how strong it really is. Because when that storm comes, it'll bend over, but it'll spring back up. I've seen too many times of Christians that they bend over and they don't get back up. But we ought to spring back up. Get back up. When the devil knocks us down, just get back up. Spring back. Don't let him count you out while you're down. Amen. So it takes a storm to show how tough it really is. You know, God uses His creation to teach us of all things. We can learn from even looking at the forest and the trees, and the heavens declare the glory of God. I know this. I've never been there, but I'm told down in Florida, below off the coast of Florida, there's a pure stream of water. It's called the Gulf Stream. It comes out, flows around the tip of Florida, and goes all the way across the Atlantic Ocean at a rate of 45 miles per day. And guess what? It don't never mix with the salt water. It stays separated all the way across the ocean. And even if there's a storm out there, it still keeps on its pattern. You can't make it go a different way. I think God's trying to tell us through something through creation that we ought to be separated from the world and stand the test. He's made us different. Amen. Amen. It's the difference we are that makes the difference. Amen. Psalms 92:14, it says, they shall bring forth fruit in their old age. You know, the older we get, the more fruit we ought to be bearing. Amen. And the fig trees, they get sweeter and sweeter as they get older. But good, we can do that. An old guy went to the doctor years ago, and the doctor said, I hate to tell you this, you've got diabetes to bed. He said, you're going to turn to pure sugar. He said, praise the Lord, I just want to get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. But those fig trees, I'm talking about, I'm jumping off on them now, but their fruit gets sweeter as they get older. And senior citizens, we need to get sweeter as we get older. Too many of them get grumpy. Too many seniors get grumpy as they get older. Amen. Too many like the old grandpa one day. His grandkids went in and they put some Lindbergh cheese on his mustache while he was sleeping. He woke up and he said, this bedroom stinks. He went in the kitchen and said, it stinks in here. He went out on the front porch and said, the whole world stinks. But the problem was him. And so he was just an old grumpy guy. So God forbid that we get grumpy. So we ought to get sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. So the duration of this tree, it had a long, useful life. I've told that the trees that produce the most fruit were between 30 and 100 years old. So don't just think because you're getting up in years you can't produce no more fruit. Hey, what did Caleb do at 85? He conquered his mountain, didn't he?
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, Caleb. Hey, young folks, listen. He was faithful in his youth. You couldn't stop him in his middle age. And he was successful in his old age. He had some durability about him. And that's what the Lord wants from us today. Amen. So it's a very durable tree. I'm told that they could put 300 pounds of weight on it, and it just make it grow that much straighter. And folks, we get burdens on us, and the devil wants to bend us over, but God wants us to continue to stand tall. Amen. Some of them grew up to 90 foot tall and produced great fruit. Well, let's go a little further. That's about the palm tree. I could mention some more. The fig tree. The fig tree, it was a token of peace and divine favor. That'd be a good place to hang your guitar or hang your harp. That fig tree, you know, Jesus talked about in the book of Luke, is a place of peace and divine favor. Place of productiveness. Amen. And so, I won't go into further that. But then there was a pomegranate tree. This is a good place to hang it. It speaks of sweet things out of glory. We all want some sweet things out of glory. Hey, that'd be a good place to hang your harp. Don't hang it down on that willow tree or juniper tree. Hang it there. But let's move on. I'll say also, it says, they shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. The cedar in Lebanon. Well, those cedars in Lebanon, they were special trees. Hey, they're part of those trees, the trees of the Lord that were full of sap. They were full of something. Hey, those cedars of Lebanon, they were awesome. They grew in their own rocky cliffs. Hey, they couldn't be irrigated by man. There was no irrigation for them. They got their supply from the Lord. They were His trees. The cedars of Lebanon stood tall for hundreds of years because they were the Lord's trees planted, and He called them the cedars of Lebanon. I think we can take a lesson from cedar trees. One thing about a cedar tree, Brother Chad, I like that, they stay green all the time. Right now you don't notice them, but you wait till January. You'll look up, wow, look at that cedar tree. Their sap don't go up and down. Hey, they can live above the frost line. I believe there's too many Christians get froze out. They have a cold spell in their life, they just kind of freeze out. But thank God, them old cedar trees, they just keep standing. The sap never freezes in them. They can live up above the frost line. Hey, we all want to have a desire to live on a higher plane ourselves. Amen. So those cedar trees, a great and mighty tree they were. Amen. One thing about it too, I need some of this. Be good for us. They heal up real easy when they're wounded. They get wounded, you hit them with something, knock the scab off, bark off, they'll heal up real easy. You know, there's too many Christians carrying around old wounds. They need to heal up. They need to heal up and not cling those old hurts. And on these cedar trees, the sap doesn't go up or down, it stays the same. Well, we need some of that too. Amen. Another thing. You can't destroy them, because when you burn those cedar trees, the tip falls off, even though it's on fire, and starts another tree. And so the more you burn them, the more they produce. And so that's something I think we could learn. Sometimes we get burnt out too easy. They just kept on producing. And they make the prettiest wood. Hey, carpenters in here, woodworkers, boy, I tell you what. That wood, that old cedar wood, it's valuable. You could make beautiful pieces of furniture out of it. But it had to produce. It had to be rooted and grounded and stand the test before it could make that beautiful piece of furniture that fills many places today. So, it's a great tree. Another thing about a cedar tree, it stores up sunshine when the sun's shining. You know, we need to do that. When things are going well, we ought to praise God. Store up some of heaven's sunshine. Don't get sidetracked with all the negative stuff. Don't let your mind wander in all the negative things about you. Paul talked about our minds, to keep our minds upon things that are of a good report. You know, our mind is kind of like a computer. But the programs, our brain is like a computer, but our mind is the programs we run through it. And the devil wants to run the wrong programs through our mind and discourage us. But these old trees, they stored up sunshine. They swayed in the wind. When the wind blew them over, they just come back up. Another thing about a pine tree, if you've noticed this, they desire to be perfect. You ever see them? Look at them sometimes. A Christmas tree, they call them. They try to go perfect. They don't want to limb this way, limb that way. They try to be perfect. And certainly we ought to be as perfect as we can through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One other thing about a pine tree. I mean, when I was a kid, we got snows a lot. And we'd look up there. We lived on the north side of the slope. The sun was, you know, was the last one for the snow to melt. But I'd look up there as a young man. I'd see we had a whole hillside full of cedars. And they'd be all bent over. Look up there day after day. Look like spring knew where it's going to come. But after a while you look and one of them would go, and it would shake off that snow. Then look at, a few minutes later, another, shake it off. And before long they all shook it off and they stood up and they still as green as they ever were. They withstood the storms. And oh, I tell you, let us learn a lesson from them and withstand the storms. Amen. Let me say one more thing about one more tree and I'll be done. The sycamore tree. You know, Amos said this. He said, I'll read chapter 7. He said, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord spake to me as I followed the flock and said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. I believe we could call the sycamore tree the preaching tree. I say what? It's ugly. It's hard to climb. I remember Chip and I was a boy trying to climb an old sycamore tree. They're hard to climb. The bark falls off and everything. They're not a pretty tree. Preaching ain't always pretty either. Sometimes it may look ugly to the flesh. But I tell you, hang around preaching long enough. Hey, you hang around it long enough and Jesus will pass by. Oh, it was Jesus that passed by when Zacchaeus was up in a tree. Jesus came by and said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to tell you, if we'll hang around the preaching tree long enough, Jesus will show up. It'll be worth a bit of it when He passes by. I just want to say tonight, church, stay with the stuff. Stay with your pastor. Stay with the stuff. Don't hang it up. Don't hang it up in hard times. And you know what? If the government says we're in hard times, you better believe we've been in there a long time. We are in hard times. Don't hang it up in hindering times. The devil wants to hinder us. Now, Paul said, I wouldn't come over to Thessalonica, but he said, the devil hindered me. Hey, that means to lay something across your path to stop you. You ever been going to do something for the Lord and wham, it's like a tree across the rope? The devil trying to stop you. He's trying to hinder you. And sometimes he'll just beat you. Another place it means in the New Testament, to beat continually over and over again. Hey, that's what the devil wants to do to us. So I want to say, don't quit in hindering times. Amen. And don't quit in harvest time. The fields are white under harvest. God don't want us to quit at any time. Let's just stay with the stuff. It's difficult times. I've seen some people quit in high times. I mean, when everything was going good, that's when they quit, and God's blessing. But there's no place to hang it up. Let's have our heads bowed. Dear Lord, we thank You for this privilege. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that you would liken us unto a palm tree or a cedar tree, or as unto the trees of the Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that you care enough about us to come to this world. Jesus, that you came just as a tender plant. You was the root that grew up in that dry ground. Lord Jesus, you never had riches or wealth. You brought nothing into this world, but you came from another world. You condescended down and took on the form of a man that we might receive eternal life. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you for that tonight. But we just thank you that you still love us as much as you ever did. Lord, you know the need of every heart. There's somebody here tonight, Lord, that needs you to do something for them. Help them. Just let the Spirit of God speak to their hearts. Have thine own way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Chad, I ask you to come.
I ask you to bow your head for our first invitation.